Welcome to Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have an hour to turn a humble pitch to George Lucas into a multi-billion-dollar
franchise.
George
Lucas has no power anymore. Just lots of money. In which is
hearts.
Power. Power is money, to be fair. So he's got a lot of power.
He has power in my heart. My name is Freddie Wong. I stand George Lucas forever.
I'm Will Campos, pilot of the script that made the Kessel Run in less than 12 parsecs. Also, I forgot to do one last time, as a couple people pointed out. So here's another one for you. Wait, can't I roll this thing? I thought you said this thing was fast. I'm going into those whiny Luke quotes. I'm in a whiny Luke quote mode. What a piece of junk.
Hey, everybody, I'm Matt. I don't have a thing. Let's do this.
Oh, could you tell Matt? Is that who you can tell? All-time best
line. The saddest death in cinema history.
Yeah, you thought Han Solo died when Kylo Ren killed him. Han Solo died when Leia walked away and he whinily went, oh, you can tell Luke? Is that who you can tell? And that is how the smoothest fucking operator in the galaxy became the biggest dweeb of all time.
I gotta say, watching Empire again, older, it never struck me. The thing that struck me on that viewing as a 30-plus-year-old was being like, wow, they really undercut Han in Empire Strikes Back. They make him a really whiny little baby.
In Empire?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. They make him a baby. No.
He's
a
baby in Return of the
Jedi.
He's
a cool baby.
He's like a problematically not a baby. He's like an old romance style.
No. But I'm saying like all his scenes with Leia, she's just like running over him. It's great.
I mean.
Like when the base is being attacked and everything, he's a little child. He's like, I want to get my ship and fly. He's whining at Chewie. He's a little baby.
There's elements of that. But then he's also like, hey, your hands are dirty. And then just like forces a kiss on her. So.
Yeah, I'm talking about the stuff in the first half of the movie. Really take him from like cool guy who saved Luke to be like, ew, Chewie, my dog isn't doing the space welding right. Like, that's, give me that to my space dog. I need to weld this better on my ship. Like, that's basically the song Han Solo.
It really is the kiss.
I guess it's a balance.
Empire's an interesting watch now. I'll put it that way. Yeah. Like, the consent stuff going on later in that movie is pretty yikes.
It's a movie from the 80s. You wouldn't make it today.
You definitely do it differently today. That's for sure.
Anyway, let's leave the past in the past, because what we have here is the future. Kill it if you have to. We have the future of movies.
What are you going
to
do, tell Croquet?
What are you going to tell Croquet? Is that what you can tell? No.
All right, where are we? What's going on?
Jar Jar
got knocked.
He got wanged on the head, and like all movie head trauma, he's going to wake up
and be fine
10 minutes later and be perfectly fine.
And to be clear, if you're knocked out for 10 minutes in real life, you're dead.
You need to go to a hospital.
I'm
playing Spider-Man Miles Morales right now, and I forgot how Batman Arkham Asylum does this, right? Where they're like, Batman as a man of honor, he doesn't kill people, right? Yeah. But then like these fucking takedowns, he's just smashing people's heads into concrete and snapping their bones and stuff like that. So Miles Morales has all of that, right? Like you were just like jumping from 50 feet in the air to electro punch someone's face into like the jagged corner of a skyscraper. But then I forgot, also as Spider-Man, you're just yeeating people off of skyscrapers half the time. What happens to the guy after you kick him off the edge of the skyscraper?
Yeah, they die. They fall to their death.
Spider-Man, but Spider-Man also has like a no-kill rule,
yeah,
right?
But it's a video game.
All right.
Insomniac, they're like, hey, like all these games, you're psychopaths, and they did that one where you are just playing like...
Oh, Infamous, right? Was that...
No, yeah. Infamous is like superhero. There's like Prey. You're essentially playing like... Who's the black and white version of Spider-Man? Venom. You're essentially playing like a Venom type person. She's like a maniac. It's like, yeah, this is appropriate. But
anyway, what's the deal?
You want to feel like a good guy when you murder people, though. Like, it's literally like what most of human fiction is. It's like, I want to do evil things, but be considered good.
That's the zombie genre in a nutshell, right? Yeah. Like, that's the whole fantasy, is I wish I could murder everyone. Oh, they're already dead. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. All like, right. It's okay.
Okay.
For my family. Oh no, my family died too, because it's for revenge
Darn. Now I don't have any filial responsibility either. It's just amoral violence.
Oh man.
Oh, what a bummer.
Human beings are scum.
Oh, no.
We're all scum. So I fucking fight. This is all of human fiction. And we don't want to be criticized for why you do either. That's all
the
fiction.
The two genres.
Is this a fuck movie or a fight movie?
And then one man named Ian Fleming said, hold on to your hats.
Hold on, everyone. We can do both.
And the world was never the same. And we all got greedy. Well, Jar Jar is going to do both in this movie. So let's... Fuck. If you haven't actually read Ian Fleming James Bond book, you should.
You should?
Yeah, especially if you've seen the movies. They're not what you think they're going to be.
I've heard they're pretty rough, man. I've heard it. I've seen the pull quotes, and I went, "Oh no!"
As a person who loved the James Bond movies, as all high school boys do, I was like, "I'm going to read these books." And I was like, "Whoa!" This is whoever adapted those books. Fucking is the biggest genius in all of Hollywood. They took these fucking depressing, like super problematic, just dull ass spy stories.
You've seen some of the early Bond movies,
yeah,
right?
But they did it all in the, you know, the way that people want.
John Ronson wrote an article called "The Name's Ronson, John Ronson" on The Guardian, where he basically was like, "It's the centenary of Ian Fleming's birth. I'm going to recreate one of the Bond movies." Like the road trip he takes in his like Aston Martin.
Oh, I remember you telling me about
and
this. Yeah.
And it's basically, it starts with him being like, "I got the Aston Martin from the factory. I drove to Europe." And like, he gets like 1.5 days through. He's like, I've eaten so much and I'm so drunk. Like, I cannot go in. Like, because he's going like word for word, like it's everything like, Bond does.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the books, it's like Bond's like, "I had 6 martinis and then 2 steaks for breakfast." And then
it's a very funny article.
All right.
Anyway. Right. Okay. So he got knocked on the head and now he's going to wake up with a croquet.
Yes, a croquet and the rebels.
And the rebels.
In somewhere. The rebels.
In the city, right? Deep in their city base.
And croquet is probably going to explain, like, the First Order and how Death Stars work and all that stuff, right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay, croquet. Croquet computer.
Croquet computer.
Okay, so Jar Jar came up with his plan. He was going to save croquet. And then tell Croquet and the Rebels, like, "Yo, here's what's going on. They're going to blow you up with a laser. I bought us some time. Here's my plan." And then while there's a complication that more or less he is in that situation, like he is with Croquet now and the Empire doesn't know that he's a double agent yet. So now he's got to essentially convince them. He's got to figure out like what to do with the Rebels.
Yes.
Though you don't want the Rebels to trust them because that would get rid of the fun of like, it feels like this sequence is like, are they going to kill him? Even like, is this like the Army of Shadows, like tied to a chair like in the middle of nowhere, and they're
does
like,
feel like he'd wake up tied to something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
crazy. Would say we could Star Wars it up again. Maybe he's tied to like a
lightsaber,
like a lightsaber chair. It's slowly sinking into the ground because the sabers are on.
It's dangling over the Sarlacc pit.
Let's say he's tied to the chair.
Well, so the other thing was the data pad, right?
Yeah.
So he has this data pad that he's trying to give her when the Empire attacks, and this has got the plans and stuff. It's got the proof, essentially, right? So in theory, they now have the thing. So when he wakes up and he sees them looking at the plans for this laser, right, that's going to blow up the city, right?
Well, they don't believe it's real. Like, one person's like, "It's a plan, but nobody could make something like this." Like, again, it's not like known thing. They're like, "This is all bullshit."
I guess, what if they did trust him, just to go down that rabbit hole for a second, rather than do, or, you know, maybe they don't trust him, but they are going to go along with
it or something like laser. That.
But, like, how do we move the plot forward, right? Like, what's the next big turn? I get a little leery of repeating like the same beat over and over again of Jar Jar getting disappointed by other people. Because like, there's one version where you like Jar Jar's like, "Oh, thank God you've got the laser information. Like, you know, we can go blow it up now." He's like, "Blow it up? No, we're going to use it to blow up Feed because that's where the Empire is," right? Like, and then he's like, "What? Are you fucking kidding me?" He's like, "Yeah, fuck them. Like, we'll blow up Palpatine's base. He and the whole Red Council are there right now." He's like, "What about Feed? Like, I literally just stuck my neck out to fucking rescue you guys for whatever." He's like, "Oh, whatever. Those civilians don't matter." Like, that could be an angle, but then I am a little like, "Oh my God!" Like, do you know
I would
mean?
Just to put a pin in that really quick. I don't think that we need them to do that, but I do think, again, it's a classic scene. I would have somebody in that group of people, not Croquet, that does suggest that one. Just for me personally, they're like, if they didn't think about doing a suicide bomb, I'm like, you guys are gonna lose. Like, somebody needs to at least present. Like, that's the first thing you would think of if you're
just
in
like
war.
A sort of resistance writer's room, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
everyone's pitching ideas.
Somebody should be like, "Fine, if he's telling the truth, let's get him in there and have him kill Palpatine. Like, what is he doing here? Like, that would be the most useful thing he could do." And then, like, Croquet can be like, "We're not, you know," again, classic, like, "we're, you know, if we're just like them, then what's the difference?"
You can, exactly.
Yes, you should address
it. And then Jar Jar's like, "Oh my God, thank you. I've been saying that to everybody." He's like, "Shut up, Jar Jar.
Shut up. We don't like you.
Shut up, Jar Jar. You're getting real close to that cavitation zone."
Don't get too close to that hole.
We really need to plug that thing up. We keep trying. We put warning signs in front of it. They just get sucked in. Okay. Every scene. It's like, you know, Hitchcock was like, you put a bomb under the scene and you don't explode it. Every scene would be more tense if there was a cavitation zone in the scene. And if the main character doesn't know it, but if he stepped to the right, he gets sucked into it.
I mean, you wrote 8 pages last week. We could just like
no. All right, Okay, so
it's like when you eat a big meal and you skip dinner. Like, it's fine, Will. It's okay.
You skip the next episode of your podcast.
Sometimes you gotta skip a meal.
This is the dessert of the writing process.
Yeah, you know what happens? Like,
we just treat ourselves to a bunch of funny riffs.
Yeah, it's like This American Life. They have a really good episode, and then Ira gets on. It's like, this week we're gonna just
this
skip
week
it.
Is
hey, don't pull up This American Life, because I swear to God, every time I pull up This American Life, it's a rerun. They do so many fucking reruns on that show. It's
yeah,
like not.
The
everyone.
Story get originally him. Aired yeah. in our 1996 episode.
Yeah, their shit was. He keeps pulling up shit from the archives from like the 90s.
We thought the story about teachers was especially relevant today. No shit, there's always teachers. Just say you didn't have an episode this week. It's fine, This American Life.
It's fine, Ira. Just be straight with me. Don't fuck me around anymore, Ira. Don't talk about the 90s like it was yesterday, Ira. I can only hear this story about the superintendent once, Mr. Glass. How about you just fucking admit it? Public radio's fucking dead. You got no money. You got no stories. You've done everything already, so it's easier for you to just go back and pick through your archive of recordings of guys in the desert clomping around outside and to get a story about horses or whatever and try and tie that to the fucking election or whatever the fuck. Shut up, Ira Glass, and your stupid dog and your stupid glasses and your public radio and your fucking tote bags. I can't listen to This American Life anymore.
I know. Oh my God.
No. Same shit, different day. How am I right?
Okay. How long have you been recording?
22 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Fuck.
Just breathe.
Okay.
All right.
Shit.
So.
Okay. Jar Jar.
They got the plane.
Why would you do that Jar Jar movie? Okay. Jar Jar. How can we make fun of Ira Glass?
Ira Glass is like, who made fun of me? Three guys writing Jar Jar Binks fucking fan fiction.
Oh, why were they making fun of me? Oh, because they were stuck. They were stuck writing a scene on their fucking podcast.
Mr. Glass, do you wish to respond to them? No, I think they're in as much of a hell as I can possibly conceive of.
Okay, what's a fun thing for to happen to Jar Jar?
A fun thing for what's a movie
I've given you two. Fucking bottomless pit, cavitation zones.
That's just a pin. What happens to the scene? Is Jar Jar going to fall down it?
All right.
Yes.
Shut up.
And the force stops
okay,
it.
Okay. So okay. Jar Jar is... I can't think. Okay. Jar Jar is tied up. They're looking at the plans, right? They're like, oh, yeah. Shit. Like, maybe this is legit. Maybe Jar Jar was telling the truth, right?
Yeah.
What do we do, right? It's like Lord of the Rings. It's like the scene with the ring. You got Sean Bean Gungan, who's like, it is a gift.
Yes.
And then he's like,
let's use that laser on fucking everything and everyone we don't like, starting with my
in-laws, am I right?
Okay. You got someone who's like, yeah, well, let's use it, right? Like, we can fucking take out the Empire.
Yeah, they got a tool, man.
We can blow up Theed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Croquet is like, no.
Let's like, destroy that sucks. It.
Let's destroy it. Let's blow it up.
And so he's like, Croquet, you're going to lose this war, aren't you? You can't. Somebody's got a big weapon. You're like, get rid of this big weapon instead of use it.
Big picture.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here's a big picture question. Because, like, I also feel like this shit's going to go south and all these people are going to die.
Yeah.
Right? Like, are these the first moral people Jar Jar meets in the movie? Do you do that, like, again, for as paranoid and distrusting as they have been, he sees the heart of this thing, and they are like, especially in terms of rising the action, right? You're like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, Jar Jar has met up with like a good group of people who believe in doing the right thing and are going to try to do the right thing here. And he's like, oh my God, yes, finally, right?
I mean, you probably want that because you want to care about Jar Jar sacrificing himself, and it's just a world of moral gray and everybody sucks.
That's true. You need some real.
You're like,
real
man, that really did suck that Jar Jar was the only good moral. I mean, you could do that story. It's just not a Star Wars story. It's not an escapist.
So it is like we're on this turn now where Jar Jar is self-actualizing, right? He's rejecting getting told by these, you know, like if you just let yourself be a tool of amoral people, your actions are going to wind up being amoral, right?
Yeah.
So like he does what he thinks is right, and essentially he goes through all this craziness, but then he meets people who are also doing something that they feel like
he's like, you guys are much cooler than Qui-Gon Jinn.
Yes, Qui-Gon and Vader are the kind of two sides of the coin, right? And you don't want them to just be a repeat of that.
Yes.
So it feels like that would be what this is. And again, it's not that they don't wrestle with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because clearly Croquet was wrestling with whether to kill him in the previous scene.
Yes.
But at the end of the day, you do that they are going to, and again, we see them doing stuff like blowing up shipments and stuff like that. So it's not like they're, you know.
I mean, they're in war.
They're in a war. They're not Boy Scouts. But you would reveal the heart of it in this scene. And then what they would want to do would be something that Jar Jar can finally get on board with 100%. Right?
Yes, which is going to be destroying the laser.
Yes.
This is the setup for the third act. The third act of the movie is to blow up the laser. And we know that the laser is going to fail, and Jar Jar is going to sacrifice himself to essentially, at the very least, do this Godfather sequence or whatever, and actually make the Emperor take out his own people or whatever. So, yes, there needs to be a plan, and that plan should be dangerous for Jar Jar. Like, I mean, he's going to have to go back into the Empire, like, somehow, whatever this plan is. We got to come up with a cool plan. Like, how are they going to blow this laser? They're going to need to essentially make this work for a week, because there's going to be like the revealing, the Croquet's execution, the revealing of the laser and all this stuff. Like, they're going to have to come up with some cool, you know, sabotage or whatever. They still announced the execution. So it's going to be like Darth Vader and the Emperor. This is what they think is going to happen, what they want to happen.
Yes.
What they would love is for Jar Jar to come back with Croquet. Mm-hmm. He got Croquet back and a bunch of information about who the rebels are. Right.
Yes.
That's why he's going undercover.
Mm-hmm.
So great. That's what Vader and the Emperor want. So then their job, they would essentially be like, what's the plan? Like, okay, what does the Emperor and Vader expect from you? They're like, well, they think that I'm going to give them like the whole, like where the rebels are. And obviously they're going to want Croquet back, and probably they're going to want me to like take down this area.
I think they would probably not necessarily care about Croquet getting back, because they're going to blow her up anyway.
Yeah.
Just as a point of fact.
But they could use that if we wanted to like have like Jar Jar returning with Croquet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like that's a hero of Theed, like Jar Jar comes back into the city with Croquet.
You know,
and then like, again, almost being more powerful, right? There's that moment where it's like almost like, ooh, like what's the Emperor and Vader gonna do? Like Jar Jar's beloved by all of Thieves now. He's like single-handedly delivering Croquet up and everything.
Oh man, this is tough. This is the part of chess that I'm never good at, which is the end game. Like I'm always like very fun. Like the beginning I can do, the middle's very intuitive, and then the end game literally is just like, you can be a pawn. It's like you've got two pawns and a king, and he's got one pawn and a king, and like good fucking luck trying to figure out the math to get this done, right? Like, it's like being like, you know, you can technically win, but it's excruciating. This sequence, do you want it to be like, oh my God, Jar Jar's finally found a way out for everyone, right? He and the rebels come up with a plan that's so crazy it just might work.
Yes.
Right? But now everything starts going wrong.
Oh, here's a moral question for Jar Jar.
Yeah.
The rebels aren't like sociopaths or whatever, but I do think they would blow up the laser. I do think it'd be fair for them to be like, we're going to blow up the laser. Like, they're going to have this big ceremony, and Vader and Emperor are going to be there. It's like, does Jar Jar want Annie dead?
I think at this point, like, I don't know that he's got
okay, so he's like, cool, let's just kill them all.
You're right, that I don't know what this thing that they're going to do, what it is, I don't know. Like, that's the rub, right? Yeah. Like, what is the actual, like, clever, exciting thing you're going to build this third act?
Jar Jar's there now. The only thing that matters is that Jar Jar is supposed to be bringing information to the Emperor and Vader of who are the Rebel Alliance leaders in the rest of the galaxy. That's what he's promising them. That's what he's told them. And then to the rebels, he's saying, there's a laser, and the stakes are that laser is going to be used against you. Why? How they sell it to the public does not matter anymore. They're going to use a laser against you. The reasoning should be whatever is the best for the climax.
This whole city is fucked unless we do something about it right now.
Yes, they're going to blow you up in a week. That's essentially what's going to happen. So we need to destroy this laser. That's what Jar Jar's saying. And we have a week to do it, and also I need to continue to make Vader and...
Does he, though, at this point, though? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at a certain point in a double cross, right, you are done with the other side, right? Like, if you're defecting to the British or defecting to the German, at a certain point, you're like, I don't need to keep them up to date anymore. I'm on the other side
now, you
know?
If the Emperor knew that Jar Jar switched sides, they would press the button and blow up New Centuries. Yes, they would love to have it in the perfect scenario where they can justify it to the public. But if they found out that fucking Jar Jar was a double agent and was lying to them, and this Rebel Alliance was doing all stuff, they would blow up New Centrif in a second, right? They're ready to do it. So if, those are the stakes. If they're found out, they blow up New Centrif. Like, they press the button and they blow it up.
I think if you want to do this pivot where they're like, we're just going to blow it up and take credit for it as opposed to trying to blame it, you would do that the Emperor, this is where he makes his official transition. Oh, this actually could be cool. This is what, up till this point, the Emperor has been trying to win over the people by charming them, right? Like, it's like the velvet glove over the iron fist, right? And now he's like, fuck it. Mm-hmm. Again, in the early days, Palpatine is this vicious person behind a smiling face, right? But by the time the Empire rolls around, there's no velvet glove. There's just an iron fist. Yeah. So you would do essentially, the turn would be basically, I don't give a shit about fucking framing it on the rebels. Like, I want people to know I blew up the city. Like, that's some of the, you convinced me, Jar Jar.
I was going to say, Jar Jar's strong-handed tactics essentially was like, what am I doing?
He's like, I'm sick of wasting my time trying to be liked. I see how much you want to be like Jar Jar, and it fucking sucks. Like, you know, like, he's basically like, I'm going against my own nature. Like, people are fickle. They will turn on you on a dime, like, over and over and over. It's hard to give people what they like. If the galaxy fears me, I can rule them through fear, right? So that's what I'm going to do. Like, and that being essentially like a kind of oh shit turn. Like, like, who, why would I want to blame this on the rebels? Like, I was thinking, you know, like, that's crazy. Like, why would I want them to feel like they've got this big fucking laser when I could just brag about it? You know, like that kind of thing. Like, we've been too weak.
Yes. By the way, I like the stakes that if Jar Jar, because it puts everything on him, like, if Jar Jar is found out, they're pretty, like, they're gonna just blow up New Centrif. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think you want to just blow away, like, that he's got to be a double agent, because we haven't even done, like, that's happening now, essentially. Mm-hmm. You've set up the climax. It's like, again, if this was a heist scene, it's like, we got 4 days. Like, we got to blow up this laser. These are the tools we have. It's the fucking Apollo 13. They throw stuff across the table. They're like, this is what we got to do. We got to blow this thing up, and we got to get Jar Jar in there. We got to, like, infiltrate this. And at any moment, they could fucking detonate us if you're found out, Jar Jar. Okay. So, like, you have to keep, we have to be feeding them information. Like, how do we do this? Like, and then, you know, we can decide what's the best way to dramatize that. But, like, I think that's what's essentially happening here.
Okay. This all. Mm-hmm. This is all tracking. It feels like something you could throw in if you want to get this to, like, maybe a slightly different place or to angle for something in terms of what they're doing. They could, you could have also have Crokey or someone be like, we can't just blow this laser up. We blow it up. They're going to build another one. Mm-hmm. Right? They're going to build a bigger one. Except this time it won't be about a city. It'll be about a planet. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that we can't, like, we need to destroy the Empire. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, how do you destroy the Empire? And that's what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, rather than just make it about, we're going to blow this thing up, because then it's kind of like, okay. But, like, and maybe Jar Jar does, like, be like, I'm going to come back to them with this.
Yes. There's definitely the bigger plan that Qui-Gon wanted also, which is.
Okay. Hold on. What if you do? Jar Jar is going to bring the chip to the Emperor, right? The Emperor, Darth Vader, the Red Council, right? He's going to call an emergency meeting of the Red Council to discuss the contents of this fucking thing. And it's the thing Qui-Gon gave him, right? Like, you know, his plan is to go there. The rebels are going to, at the same time, break in and get the laser. And then they are going to use the laser to blow up the Emperor and the Red Council. And Jar Jar's going to sacrifice himself. Like, he's like, let me do that. Like, I can, like, he's going to be a sacrifice pawn. And then you do the turn is, because Darth Vader's bugged him, they fucking know what the rebels are doing, right? Like, and so then the turn is, the rebels are going to get captured and killed. They've walked right into a trap, and the Emperor is just going to blow up the city and take credit for it. And this will be the first move of the Empire or something like that.
Yes.
Is that start to get
there? It's getting there. I don't think Jar Jar's plan should be to sacrifice himself.
Yeah, you don't want to steal, but you don't want to do that.
It's also
yet.
Like, it's like dark. I'm like, wow, they're going to kill. I suddenly don't like the rebels if they're just like, hey, you should kill yourself, Jar Jar. Okay, because the plan's going to go wrong. So the plan needs to be interesting and have some tension building up to it, like a good heist. And then the plan's going to go wrong in a way that it all goes to shit. And the only thing that only good that comes from it, the only thing that succeeds is the data, the USB drive is given to Darth Vader from Jar Jar's dead body. And he believes it's true. And then they
kill
execute.
A bunch of people. Yeah.
Like,
yes.
So everything else can go wrong. Like, New Centrif can blow up. Crokey could die. Like, I don't mind. Like, it could go to hell, but this one thing happens. And I mean, you probably have Crokey survive or whatever. Could their plan be, by the way, because again, they also want this chip. Again, it's all about selling. Espionage is all about selling lies. So, like, it's tough to sell a lie. So, like, Qui-Gon's sell was right to a degree, which is like, yeah, people would believe this if, like, they actually all die. Like, nobody believes that you'd sacrifice your entire rebellion to, like, give false data. So, again, if they're like, okay, we know their plan now, like, if their whole thing is like, are we going to change the laser's trajectory and it blows up? Like, you know, we're all going to escape just in time and it's going to blow up. Like, we're going to sacrifice our city, but, you know, we're going to blow up New Centrif and then, you know, we're going to poison the Emperor and you're going to give the data to Vader.
But they're going
to
blow up? I feel like...
I'm just trying to figure out, like, yeah, they needed, like, some elaborate...
Given that the thing that made Jar Jar balk was the idea of destroying an entire city.
But no, they're not in it, is my point. Like, but, they know...
But how... Were they going to evacuate the entire...
I'm trying. Okay, sorry. Yeah. I mean, yes, maybe Oregon, maybe they, you know, like the rock, they move the rocket, like, you know, they change the targeting codes in that moment. So they, like, the emperor still sees the laser go. And so that way they're all weak because they're celebrating and they don't realize that they, like, shot just off course or whatever.
They're going to fake New Centrif blowing up. They're going to use the industrial light and magic wizards to create footage of New Centrif blowing up.
Or is their primary thing, okay, this is what I'm getting stuck on.
Yeah.
If their primary thing is to get the USB drive, to get that data out there that Qui-Gon wanted, they would do something like that. They would do their own false flag. Like, they would just want to sell that that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. If their main thing is we're going to kill the Emperor and destroy that laser, like, I understand that. They're like, this kill, I mean, who cares about, like, the six senators that are helping him, like, kill the fucking head of the snake, right? Classic.
Yeah, so,
like,
yeah,
let's
kill
the
Emperor. Yeah.
Like, we're going to execute the Emperor. Yes. I think Jar Jar would be okay with that.
Yeah, I do. I really do. It's tough because I know you don't want Jar Jar to make, like, a sacrifice play until the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
But it does feel like that would be part of the, like, if Jar Jar's going to be at the castle when it gets blown up, like, there's no way he's getting out of there.
I mean, you can execute somebody without blowing up a whole building. Like,
but no, but I thought, but literally what I thought we were talking about, that they were going to steal the laser and use the laser on the palace.
I mean, they could do that, or they could do, I'm trying to think of where this
laser
is.
But that to me seems like the most, in terms of everyone being involved in the same thing, the tightness of Jar Jar is going to go into the Imperial, but I guess at that point, like, you don't need, like, why would Jar Jar need
couldn't
to go
you just
in?
Blow yeah, up
you, the laser allows you, as you remember in physics class, the laser lets you be at the laser, and then you can just point the laser.
That's true.
Yeah, I feel like the Emperor could be on the laser, like, whatever the laser is, it could be this, like, big elaborate awesome vehicle thing that he's gonna stand on top of and raise his arms, and the fucking, you know, metaphorical cock behind him is gonna blast, and he shows how strong he is. It's like, great, and he blows up a whole city. He's like, this is my fucking
okay
moment.
So what you're proposing then is that okay.
By the way, because then you get this, yes, I think the it's an infiltration scene. Like, they're going to make the laser big. The laser's like a building that you can, like, go sneak around.
Sorry, I have a thing. But
I was just saying, it feels like the laser is, like, on a Star Destroyer strapped to it, and there's a bridge and it's a ship in space, right?
Yeah, it could be orbital. Like, yeah, it could be a ship that's actually cool because
you
can get a whole infiltration.
I just want to throw it out there, man.
The idea, yes.
You have to be orbital. You can't blow up a city at the same level you're at the city, unless you're on top of a really big mountain.
Well, no, you're like, it could shoot like a
it's
rocket.
It's
type
the
laser.
First bendy laser.
Bendy.
My that God. They have bendy laser technology.
This would be the first.
They
need
to
ask.
Oh, my, actually, but hold
no,
on. Hear me
you
out.
You can't do this to Star Wars. There's not a curved laser. Think about it. Think about all the Star Wars movies. Every laser straight as a fucking arrow, dude.
Bendy laser technology would be so imagine this. They're like, we've got an ultimate super weapon. It's called the bendy laser. But we need someone to pilot this laser, which means we need a hotshot pilot who's so, his reflexes are so good that they can fucking pilot a laser at the speed of light.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You need Jedi pilot to pilot your bendy laser.
They would do that. You set that all up and he's inside the laser, whatever that means. And they go, are you ready? He goes, yes, I'm ready. They go, 3, 2, 1. And then they shoot it and then he just cut to, he's like, my God, I'm already here. Like, it's the speed of light. Like, I think he just dies instantly. Like, time freezes. Like, what was I thinking? I can't control this at all. It's been a millisecond. I'm already inches away from
every
my destination.
Every laser is powered by a pilot who's been programmed to think that he can bend a bendy laser.
Okay, okay. We were here for you, right? I think, yes. Okay, simple. There is a big float. It's like the fucking end of Avatar. And if anybody scoffs, shut up. Avatar is fucking better than all the Star Wars movies that have come out. Avatar is great. Like, there's a big fucking ship that is slowly moving to blow up all the blue people. They're gonna blow up all the Na'vi, right? So yes, I think this laser is on a big platform. Fucking Emperor, classic, like, Roman, you know, imagery. Like, the Emperor's gonna be on fucking top of his battle barge.
Bridge, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're gonna float over and they're gonna shoot New Centrif and blow it up. Like, that's great. So now you have to infiltrate. That's the whole thing. That's what they have 4 days to plan. It's like, how are they going to infiltrate? Are they going to fly in? Or are they going to fly? Like, do we get cool, like, Gungans on, like, mm-hmm. on, like, birds because those are under the radar? Or are they, like, one person's going to be in? They're going to knock people out. And, like, again, you gotta do it in a way that they don't notice it's going to happen. Because what they want is they want the Emperor to press the button and he blows up his own platform and kills himself. Like,
yes.
That's like their plan.
A malfunction, if you will. Yes.
Because any other way, it's like they can't just put a bomb on there. It's too, again, whatever. It's like you come up with all the fucking sci-fi bullshit. It's like, oh, it's too strong. There's a shield. We can't blow it up. Like,
I hear you on that. It blows itself up. Just throw it out there. Big mirror. It shoots it back. two mirrors, Matt.
Damn.
They got him. You know what I mean? And then afterwards, the mirror hits, the laser hits the mirror, which bounces into another mirror and then bounces back into it. And then Jar Jar goes, got him.
It's just a small mirror. It's like the whole plan is like they know the Emperor is really petty. So if the Emperor sees a Gungan with a shirt that says the Emperor sucks nuts, they're like, hey, target that kid specifically. And then right when they shoot the laser, the kid pulls out a little like little mirror. Dressing mirror and go, oh no.
Oh no, a mirror. Oh, no. They've reflected, Lord Vader, they've reflected the mirror into outer space using a mirror. I did not know this was possible. You see, it's light. Lasers are light. So a mirror would be able to move it away.
Okay.
Oh, shit.
So
don't let them figure this out. You must die to preserve this secret.
Sir, I think everybody knows that
mirrors exist.
Kill everybody. Okay. So yes, they're going to blow up. They're going to blow it up. And yes, in terms of why it has to be that way.
It's, the rebels have set up on a mirror planet, sir. We are unable to use the Death Star, for we shoot it, it'll diffract the rays out like a big disco ball.
Shit.
That's why they went to Hoth. Because Hoth is all ice, which is like a big mirror planet. Yeah. And they're like, why Hoth? It's like, well, we don't know if there's a second Death Star. We need to cover our tracks.
Yes.
And they won't. It's like, it's good
lasers
thing.
Don't work on snow.
Yeah, because it'll just shoot it everywhere.
Snow, a bunch of tiny crystals.
Mirrors.
What are crystals? Mirrors.
Mirrors.
Okay.
Dude, Star Wars makes so much sense now.
Okay, so they're gonna blow up this big platform that the Emperor is gonna ride on and fucking blow up New Centrif. And yeah, they're gonna blow up New Centrif once Jar Jar has completed his task of getting all the information of where the rebels are.
Yeah,
great. And again, the reason there's a time sensitivity is like they don't want to blow up New Centrif before they get information. Like, again, everybody wants to act on this mass assassination. That's what both sides are trying to do. Like, the Emperor thinks that Jar Jar is going to get him all of the Bail Organas out there, and they can fucking... And you got to do that quickly. Like,
okay.
Once you execute...
Hear
one,
me out.
Once
Hear
you assassinate
out.
One person, everybody else knows about
what
it.
What does everyone love? A sequence where they get caught on purpose,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
But you do, right? All mm-hmm. of them get caught on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
you do. But then every rebel that gets caught has, like, one teeny part. Of the blaster bolt, of the blaster rifle,
of a mirror,
of a mirror. They each have one part hidden, mm-hmm. right? And so when they all get fucking brought on board, they're all gonna assemble like a gun to bust out with, so they can go mm-hmm. sabotage or something like that.
Here's my question: not the no, but doesn't
but no,
doesn't nobody like the get caught on purpose
I'm just
thing?
Kidding.
Oh.
Well, I mean, like I was like, maybe we can make people like it again by doing like.
This is one of those things where it's like everybody. There's like seven things that go on, and like everybody gets fucking pumped when the heist. Like one person's like, you know, got a hammer and hammering something. One person's flying into something. The other person knocks somebody out and puts on an outfit.
All right.
You're like, yeah, like there's a team.
Look, in classic Star Wars fashion, like you got your fucking. It feels like Jar Jar can get inside.
Yes.
Right to a special area that no one else can.
Yes.
And in that area is a button that Jar Jar needs to press so that everyone else can do the thing they have to do. Right.
Yes.
That's about as fucking simple as it gets. Right. That's,
yes.
that's
yes.
one of the steps in the hero's journey
yes.
is the hero gets into the room to
press
off
the button,
to press the button,
to open the cells.
So yeah.
The
so,
laser cells,
the laser cells. So he is going to.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
You
have a thought?
This is their plan. This is their plan, right. Okay? And we can work backwards from here, and right. this sequence is them beginning to discuss it. Their plan is, this is what they want to happen, which is the Emperor is going to use this laser to blow up New Centrif. He's going to announce to the people below, like, there's rebels amongst us. I am the Iron Fist. This is the new age of the Imperium.
This is
like,
anyone who harbors rebels in their city will be
yes.
wiped off the face
yes.
of the fucking planet.
And he's
going to
blow up the whole city. And also, what the Emperor and Vader think that Jar Jar is going to give them also is he's going to give them the list of all the other traitors. So, like, their perfect world, from Vader's and Emperor's point of view, this is what they're going to do. They're going to be like, we blow up New Centrif, and woe is to the Bail Organa, and announce, like, these are the six traitors. Like, and they're going to do an early version of Order 66, mm-hmm. and with a snap of his finger, like, not only did I blow up New Centrif, but know now that across the galaxy, these traitors are all being executed now at a whim or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what they want to do.
Yes.
So that's what, like, Jar Jar is building up to.
Mm-hmm.
So their plan has to be to sell that. Like, to sell that is what is happening. So, for example, like, they would want Jar Jar to show up, like, bloodied, like, my God, like, they found me out, but, like, I got the device, like, just in time sort of thing. So that, like, the Emperor and Vader actually believe that Jar Jar's on their side and whatnot, mm-hmm. and that they are going to go on with, like, blowing up, like, New Centrif, but, like, little do they know that they've already sabotaged the laser and it's going to blow up, and, like, but they're not going to blow up until he sets the execution order, so that's going to, he's going to kill all of his own people and blow up his own ship or whatever. That's what they want. That's, like, the perfect plan.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to end up happening is, like,
Darth Vader knew that you knew what was going on. So all of the rebels get captured, right?
Yes, yeah, so New Centrif blows up. I would do like New Centrif blows up and a few of the Rebel Alliance survive. Like Croquet watches the city burn.
Oh, you're saying they actually blow up the planet.
Yeah, I think everything goes poorly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Except for that Jar Jar in his final thing does find a way to save. I think he saves Croquet and a bunch of the rebels from... Anyways, I don't know.
But they don't know it, right? Or
they don't know it.
Right? Like, he somehow has finagled it, and they think that they got out, and Jar Jar betrayed them, and this was all bad, but it could have been worse had not Jar Jar, you know.
So this scene specifically, this scene is going to be, let's come up with a plan to blow up the Death Star platform. Mm-hmm. The Death platform is what they're going
to
do.
Could we do, I hate to punt this, but could we do that, like, this scene... is Jar Jar convincing them to come up with a plan to blow up the Death Star?
Yeah.
I mean, he has some ground to cover here.
Yeah,
honestly.
But it's like, is the end of this scene essentially like a let's get to work, and then our next scene is a big planning montage.
Yeah, it's got to be a fast one because we're late in the movie and nothing.
Yes, I think this scene essentially, he wakes up and they're looking at this.
Next to a cavitation zone. Come on.
Cavitation zone. They're looking at this blueprint. This hollow blueprint because of Star Wars. And they're like, my God, what is this? Mm-hmm. And because nobody can fucking read a blueprint. Let's be honest. Have you ever looked at a blueprint in movies? Like, unless you're a fucking engineer, they're like, what is this? And Jar Jar's like, that's a laser.
Oh, you know what it is?
That can blow up entire cities.
And they're going to prove it. Here's how you prove it. They look at it and they're like, look at this little tiny handheld laser. What is the Emperor thinking? And Jar Jar's like, no, you got to look at the scale. And like, my God, it's huge.
Yeah. So it's a big laser pointer that he's going to attach to a ship. They're like, they're going to blow up New Centrif. Mm-hmm. In 1 week, they're going to blow up New Centrif, essentially. And it's like, well, what are they waiting for? They're like, they're waiting for me to turn you folks in or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, yes. that's the stakes, right? Mm-hmm. And then, like, what are we going to do? And then they're like, I don't know. Like, Jar Jar has some cool line. Like, we're going to fucking turn the tables on them and beat them instead. And they go, let's do it.
I mean, that doesn't seem like a scene.
It's pages.
Here's what you would do. Hold on. You do that. Croquet is the leader, right?
Yeah.
Croquet is hearing counsel from the other people on what to do about this problem, right? And again, it seems like the guy who's like, let's steal the laser and we can use it to wreak vengeance on our enemies. Mm-hmm. Like, the perfect time to get in will be after they blow up New Centrif. Mm-hmm. Like, their guard will be down. We wait for them to blow up the city, and then, you know, like, they have to turn the laser off. They have to turn the shields off to fire the laser. That's our chance to get in. So we will use that chance to swing in and steal it right from under them, and we'll lose the city, but we'll, you know, win the war.
This is pretty straightforward, actually. I think he shows them. He's like, hey, everybody, look, what is that? It's a laser that can blow up New Centrif. I feel like everybody's response is like, wow, thanks for bringing this to us, Jar Jar. Good luck with the rest of your life. Let's all get the fuck out of here and fly to Bail Organa. Like, we're done. Like, Theed is over. We've lost Theed. Like, there's nothing, like, that's a valid response. It's not like we're going to infiltrate and sacrifice all our lives to, like, go stop this Death Star. Like, they have it. We're a small village 100 miles away from Theed. It's over. Like, let's escape. And that's the speech. Like, Jar Jar's like, don't you understand? Like, I didn't do all this so you could all just run. Like, let's stop this thing. Otherwise, it's going to be years and years of a battle. Like,
we
can stop this. Like, it's going to take sacrifice. Like, who knows what's going to happen, but we have a chance to stop this before it begins.
Yes. And then Kree convinces Croquet.
Yes. And they're like, how can we even trust them? Maybe this is what they want. They just want, like, that. Some people be like, oh, Jar Jar's trying to walk us into a trap.
Yeah, he's
like, no, I'm not.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Yeah. I like that. And rather than them just being like, oh, let's use it as a weapon.
Yeah.
You're right. It's a different heat to have it be like, these people are moral, but they're cowards. Not cowards.
This is valid.
But they're like, we got to run. Like, this information is like, we can use this. Like, this is this intel, like, what happened with it. Like, we can use this to form a plan. Do you know, and again, you literally hinted, it's like, do you know how hard it's going to be to get the fucking prototype, the plans like this in the future? Like, if they actually build this thing?
It's going to take movies. Yeah, multiple movies. And somebody can be like, and somebody can be like, okay, thanks, Jar. Like, Jar Jar, they're like, oh, Jar Jar just doesn't want us to flee because if we flee, they're all gonna know he's a traitor. He's just trying to save his own skin. Like, you get like, everybody's fucking scared.
Yeah.
And again, you even have, they're like, how are you gonna blow this thing up? And like, you know, you have some fucking Gungan who is like an engineer. He's like, it's impossible to blow this thing up. My God, the ray shields are everywhere. There's no way, like, the only way you could possibly do it is, my God, maybe. And then Crookie's like, well, couldn't we do that? He's like, quiet. He's like, gentlemen, we have a chance to, you know, stop this thing. Like, I think that's essentially your scene. It's like, this is crazy. If it fails, we will blow up New Centrif, right? Like, if this doesn't get stabbed, like, we are taking the chance. Like, if we all flee, it's over. Like, they know we found out.
Yes.
And sure, we live for another day, but now they have a big laser that they're going to use all over the galaxy. Like, this is our chance to stop this thing. And that's what Jar Jar tries to convince them. And then Croquet can be like, I trust Jar Jar. Jar Jar hasn't sacrificed his nuts once, but twice for the cause.
Yeah, I like that. To walk through it, Jar Jar wakes up. He's, you know, tied up. Everyone's looking at the plans, right?
Yes.
And it's a big Council of Elrond type thing. What the fuck do we do?
Yes.
Right? They're like, this thing, this is folly, right? Yeah. We have to, you know.
One cannot simply fly onto the space.
Well, and actually, I think you could do that. One person is arguing they steal the laser after it blows up New Centrif, and then they can use it to fucking decimate, you know, like, as a military weapon. The other person is like, we need to run. That's too risky. Yeah. We need to take this to Bail Organa. Like, but both of them are completely like forgetting about the actual people of New Centrif, right? And then that's Jar Jar's like, what about the people? Like, what about the people on that planet? The people have been hiding you for months. The blah, 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 blah. I'm sick of fucking being moral later by being shitty today. Like, like, why did we get into this? Did we get into this to help people?
I feel
or
like
not?
Croquet being the more reasonable can even be like, I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth. Like, let us evacuate. We will evacuate all the people, like, of New Centrif or whatever. And, like, that's about, I think Croquet has a legitimate argument. And Jar Jar's, like, point is, like, this war will go on forever. Like, I've sacrificed so much. Like, I didn't sit on the sidelines watching this to get this information so we can all just run and those people die another day on a different planet because they know where Bail Organa is. Like, we have to do something. We have to destroy this weapon. This weapon is too powerful. Yeah, like,
there's, like, I was like, I don't know. I'm a fucking, I'm just the governor. You guys are the smart rebels. You've been blowing stuff up. That's why I brought it to you.
Yeah.
I thought you guys were cool. Right. Yeah. And then you do, he hits a nerve with Croquet and she's like, no, we are cool.
Yeah.
we do cool stuff. That's good.
China's cool.
So yes. And then they're like, well, what are we going to do? It's like, let's figure it out. Yes. Right. All right. Well, we did it.
Yeah.
Unlike Ira Glass.
Yeah. Unlike Ira.
Yeah.
We didn't take the Ira way out.
Oh,
we took,
boy.
We took, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, the scene.
From the internationally acclaimed creators of Who Shot Ya comes the movie podcast Maximum Film, starring producer and film festival programmer Drea Clark as a woman bound by passion.
I saw this 8 months ago on the festival circuit, and I loved it.
Film critic Alonzo Duralde as a man corrupted by greed.
Why watch one Hallmark Christmas movie when I can watch seven?
And comedian Ify Wadiwe as a man protecting a love that society simply won't accept.
I think Pacific Rim is a perfect movie. And if you can't accept that, then I want you out of my life.
From the makers of the movie podcast Who Shot Ya comes Maximum Film.
That's right. We changed the name of our show to Maximum Film.
But don't worry. We're still a movie review show that isn't just a bunch of straight white dudes.
So tune into Maximum Film at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interior, hidden resistance base, night. POV Jar Jar. Jar Jar's eyes open, blurry, then slide into focus on a Rebel Alliance starbird spray-painted onto the dingy wall of an underground bunker. NPOV. Jar Jar winces and goes to rub the bruise on his noggin and realizes his hand is shackled to a pipe running across the wall behind him. Jar Jar blinks groggily as he takes in his surroundings, an underground Rebel bunker. At the center of the room, a ragtag group of partisans and guerrilla fighters huddle around a holographic projection of the Death Star prototype, a floating weapons platform with a massive laser cannon at its center. Two fighters, a grizzled Mon Calamari and an even more grizzled Twi'lek, argue passionately as Croquet studies the hologram.
Every second we stay in this city, we put the rebellion in danger. We need to get these plans to Bail Organa, expose the Emperor, and rally the Senate to our side.
Richard Nixon over here.
Ah, this is a trap, and I am not a crook.
Ooh, what's a Twi'lek sound like? I don't know.
While the Senate wrings their hands, the Empire will turn this prototype into a full-fledged planet killer. We have to strike now.
Any assault on that platform by our meager forces would be suicide.
We'll post the script so you can follow along with the dialogue Matt's reading. Croquet shakes her head.
Not necessarily. She punches a few buttons and the holographic blueprint springs to life. Misa studied the plans. There's no way in while the deflector shield is up. But they still gotta lower it when they fire that laser.
Jar Jar watches in alarm as the holographic platform lowers its shields and fires its laser, obliterating a city below.
Then that's our end. When they strike, we strike. We seize the laser, turn it on its creators, and wipe out the Empire in one fell stroke.
What about New Centrif?
Everyone in the room looks at Jar Jar, except Croquet, her eyes probing the holographic plans. The Mon Calamari sneers at Jar Jar.
Well, look who's up.
There's thousands of people in this city. You're gonna save them, right?
Croquet gives an ironic chuckle.
Now you care about the people, huh?
Any move on our part to evacuate civilians and the Emperor will fire the laser. All we can do now is make sure this city isn't sacrificed in vain.
On that, we agree. Losing New Centrif is a blow, to be sure, but in the long run, in the big picture...
No, nuh-uh. You're supposed to be the good guys. That's why Misa did this. Yusa can't just let them die.
Croquet snarls, her patience wearing thin. And what would Yusa propose we do about that, Governor?
If Yusa let me go, Misa can get onto that platform and turn off the shield, and Yusa can stop them from blowing up the city.
Croquet finally turns to him, icy venom in her voice. Assuming Yusa not leading us into a trap. Jar Jar gives a mournful sigh.
Misa let you down, Croquet. Misa hurt you. Misa never forgive myself for that, but Misa truly sorry.
She scoffs bitterly and looks away, but Jar Jar continues, undaunted.
Yusa got every reason to hate me and no good reason to believe what Misa's saying, but that's okay. Because Misa believe in you. Because we spilled the same blood in the same mud.
Yeah.
And that Croquet I know, if Shisa saw a way to save a life, to protect the innocent, she took it. No matter what the odds. No matter what the risks. It's what Yusa do. It's who Yusa are.
I cannot give that order. Same blood in the mud.
That's a trap. It is not a trap.
He looks up at her, his eyes full of sincerity. She's touched by his words, though still guarded. Jar Jar turns to the rest of the room. The Mon Calamari and Twi'lek watch him closely.
What Misa do now, right now, is who Misa are. Misa know that we at war. Misa know we gotta think big picture. All Misa been doing is thinking big picture. And you know what Misa realized?
Exterior, Theed Palace rooftop night. Rain pours down over Theed. Vader looks out at the lights of the city, his cape blowing in the wind as he listens to Jar Jar's words, picked up from his tracking bug.
Misa painting that picture now. Misa paint it stroke by stroke with every choice Misa make.
A flash of lightning illuminates Vader's ever inscrutable face. Interior resistance hidden base.
He drinks a smoothie.
Interior hidden resistance base night. The rebels listen with rapt attention as Jar Jar pours his heart out.
Misa can't read the future. Misa don't know if Misa gonna live or die. But Misa know this. If Misa won't even try to save a single city, Misa never gonna save a whole galaxy.
Silence hangs in the room. Croquet stares at Jar Jar for a long beat. She gets up and grabs a hatchet from the table. If Yusa playing us, Misa gonna kill you myself. With one deft strike, she cuts the chain shackling Jar Jar to the wall. He looks up at her, tears well in Croquet's eyes. But Misa really hope Yusa not playing us, General. Croquet salutes Jar Jar. He smiles and salutes back to his old friend. She turns to the room and gives that wild warrior's grin. Misa got 24 hours to save this city. Let's get to work. With that, the rebels spring into action.
We enter the climax.
The
soon.
Finale.
Yes.
The finale. Good. It is finally time.
The final core.
Very good and cool.
Very good and cool.
Very good and cool.
Very
indeed,
cool.
Friends. Yes.
Luke,
yeah.
Take
it's
this
like a little,
lightsaber. It's quite
little,
cool.
Little Oscar speech scene for Jar Jar. I was a little surprised it turned into that, but I was like, you realize very quickly, like, how is he going to convince Croquet?
Yeah, he's got to give like, an Oscar
gotta,
scene.
Yeah, so it's got to be, it's like, this is the
Look,
big.
It might be the end of our careers, but frankly, I think we're pretty good just podcasting from this point on. Maybe we do. I'm just saying we should just do a full on Kickstarter for this movie and just wait till we get a cease and desist from George Lucas.
Go out with a blaze of glory.
Put the first video up on Rocket Jump YouTube channel for the first time in 3 years. Make it a Kickstarter announcement
for
our George Lucas
movie.
Request $20 million. and watch some. You know what? It'll be the first time we get on BuzzFeed, probably.
Fine.
Three fucking idiots.
Three idiots
You'll
today.
You'll never believe what happens next.
Yeah, you will.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Well, that's another episode in the can.
Yes.
Head on over to bit.ly/storybreakfb to join the discussion or check out our Twitter break. Take a Twitter break with the Story Break Twitter.
Nice.
Twitter.com/RJStoryBreak where you can see fabulous fan art from the likes of Story Broke, who did another classic episode this week, gave us a poster for our B movie featuring like a little send up of the Save the Last Dance poster. So you can check that out with a bunch of other fan art on our Twitter page.
You can also head over to MaximumFun.org to check out the other podcasts in our network. Other great podcasts are all on there. MaximumFun.org. Thank you to Chad Ells, who edits this podcast.
Thanks, Chad.
Thank you to my co-host. My name is Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos. Thank you, Freddie.
My name is Matt Arnold. And go to Kickstarter.com/JarJarBinks.
Have a lot of problems.
How do you juggle your holds at the library?
Well, how do you decide what to read next?
What do you do when you find out an author you love is a huge trash baby?
I'm Bria Grant.
And I'm Mallory O'Mara.
And we're the hosts of Reading Glasses.
We're here to solve all your reader problems and along the way, help you figure out
your reader wheelhouse,
which are the things that will absolutely make you pick up a book. Our listener favorites tend to be magic and a woman on a journey.
And also birds for some reason.
Your reader Doghouse.
Yeah, that's the things that'll make you avoid a book.
Ugh, love triangles stress me out so much. Reading Glasses.
Every Thursday on MaximumFun.org.